Learning Sefer Tehillim, we are using the commentary of Ma'am Loes by Rav Shmuel Yishalmi. This is Shir number 55. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for listening to any of our hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs and Shimon and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. This we are holding in chapter number 101, Pasuk 8. I'm going to repeat the Pasuk. Labkorim atzmiz kol rishay oretz lahachwiz me'ir Hashem kol pu'alei oven. Morning by morning will I destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the workers of iniquity from the city of Hashem. By the way, that Emir Hashem, when we complete this entire Sefer Tehillim, you'll be able to get it on one CD, approximately 75 hours worth of Tehillim with the Ma'am Lois commentary on tape, CD, or online. So this entire psalm is also perceived as an expressing David's yearning to follow in the footsteps of Avraham, as had already been explained. He refers to each of Avraham's qualities that he wants to emulate, beginning with, I will be enlightened in the way of integrity. Avraham was a man of integrity, wholehearted tamim. This is followed by, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, that is, I will not entrust my heart to the enticements of Satan. Similar, we find, according to our sages, that when Avraham was on his way to bind his son, he was not swayed by the words of Satan. He did not allow himself to be dissuaded. Hence it says, I will know no evil thing. And it says, one who slanders his neighbor in secret, him will I cut off, which pertains to Satan. David continues, one of the haughty eyes and the proud heart, him will I not bear, which parallels the fact that Avraham separated from his nephew Lot. My eyes are upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. Parallels of Avraham having chosen Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre as his allies. He that walks in the way of integrity, he will minister to me. Just as Avraham chose Eliezer to be his servant, he that works deceit will not dwell within my house, even as Avraham removed Yishmael from his house. As we find in Chumash Bereishis, when I will match all these qualities, I will then merit, as our forefather merited, that all the wicked of the land fall before me. Chapter 102, Pasuk 1. Tefillah lo'ani ki yatov lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. A prayer of the afflicted man when he envelopes wounds and pours forth his utterance before Hashem. Literally, Yatov means to envelope. David would chant this psalm whenever he became wrapped up in himself and under camouflage vanished from before his enemies who vilified him constantly. He would then pour forth the utterance of his heart in prayer before Hashem, pleading for deliverance from his troubles. His prayer was a vast outpouring, like a man pouring water in great abundance. Thus he says, the prayer of the afflicted man when he envelopes and pours forth his utterance before Hashem. Some explain that David composed this psalm on behalf of the exiles in the future, who will be the agonized victims of their many enemies. It also means to fold and infold. This conveys the image of a supplicant bowed down in a posture of devout prayer. He gives the appearance of being enfolded by part of his own body. David addresses the Jewish people in exile, inspiring them to pour forth their devotions and prayers before Hashem, entreat him to save you from the birth pangs of the Messianic age and to bring about the return of all Jews everywhere. I have an envelope in pain, the singer says, but I accept my suffering with love. At the same time, I pour out my utterance like a man emptying a vessel to ease my pain. Another interpretation says that David speaks of individual misfortune. A wealthy man lost his possessions and now lives in want, enfolded by hunger. And there is none to sustain him. So he pours forth his utterance before Hashem. He is incapable of properly ordering his words. And out of the bitterness of his heart pours out all of his troubles in a haphazard manner. David therefore composed this orderly prayer so that any man in distress would be able to express the pleadings of his heart. The poor man is ashamed to pour forth his plea before everyone. Only when he is enfolded in the privacy of his own home does he pour forth his prayer before his Maker. This may also be understood by a means of a parable. Compare it to a king who, on the occasion of his birthday, announced that all petitions made on this day would be granted. Everyone came, each with his particular request, well rehearsed. There was a wise man among them who said, "I ask one thing of the king, to permit me to visit him and to speak to him whenever I so desire." Thereby he enveloped all possible requests. Similarly, the singer says here, a prayer of the afflicted when he envelopes, and the single request to pour forth his utterance before Hashem are enveloped all the requests. For the wise king knows that a man's yearning is holy only to speak with the king and to visit early in his temple. He therefore grants him all the petitions of his heart, even that for which he does not ask. Some translate yatav as meaning delay, as in the weaker or later ones go to Lavan. The singer says the poor or afflicted man does not have the time to organize his prayer, and so it comes to an unclear, wrapped up and late. Then he pours forth his utterance all at once. A subtle interpretation says that a prayer of the afflicted refers to King Mashiach, who delays his coming. Thus, La'ani ki yatov has the same numerical value as the word Mashiach. Our sages deduce here that a man should first ask for his needs to be filled, and only then to pray. Thus it says first, a prayer of the afflicted when he envelopes, followed by and pours forth his utterance before Hashem. The latter means prayer, as it says, and Yitzchak went out to meditate in the field towards evening. However, Rabbi Yeshua says that a man should first pray and only then ask for his needs to be filled. As it says, I pour forth my utterance before him, I declare my trouble before him. The sages have also taught, until when must a man stand in prayer? Until he swoons. That is to say, until he also pleads for his life. His soul should attain a lofty plane of serving Hashem. The Medrash says in the name of Rabbi Abin, we are unable to ascertain David's character. At times he calls himself a king, and at times a pauper. That is to say, when David foresaw the righteous kings who were destined to arise from him in the future, such as Asa, Yeshaphat, Hezekiahu, and Yeshayahu, he called himself a king. Thus it says, your judgments, O Hashem, give to the king. The previous passage that we learned is already in Tehillim. When, however, he foresaw wicked kings arising from him, such as Achaz, and Menasheh, and Ammon, he called himself Oni, a pauper. Thus it says here, a prayer of the pauper when he envelopes, La'ani ki yatov. Pasuk base, Hashem shimo tifilasi v'sham osi eilechot tzavo. O Hashem, hear my prayer and let my cry come before you. Because I cry out to you, it is fitting that you, O Hashem, hear my prayer and let my cry come before you. For one who cries out does not cry out except about a great evil. Hear my prayer also when I plead for my personal needs. For my principal cry comes for you. I cry out against the exile of the Shechin, as it were. My prayer for my own needs are but secondary. Pasuk Gimel. Al taster penecho meimeni beyom tzarli hatei elai oznecho beyom ekro maher aneni. Hide not your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. David says, speak figuratively, hide not your face from me in the day of my distress. With the interpretation that he speaks in the name of the exiled Jewish people, he is alluding to what it says in the Torah, and I will hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. The pasuk is found in the Mishnah Torah. when this curse is fulfilled, Israel will plead, hide your face from me, no longer in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me to heed my prayer. When these two things will have come together, that you see my trouble and incline your ear to my prayer, you will immediately respond to my plea. The day when I call, you will answer me speedily. You in your glory heed my prayer, not by an angel, notwithstanding that it says about the exile, and I will hide my face from them. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Hide not your face from me in the day of my distress, for that other pasuk was not said about the cry of the poor and afflicted. On the contrary, it says, for the plunder of the poor, for the groans of the needy, now will I arise, says Hashem. Indeed, this prayer is for the poor and afflicted man when he swoons. Some say the singer apologizes for calling to Hashem on the very day of his distress, instead of having offered his prayer prior to the affliction. He goes on to explain in the following psukim that when he was in the midst of his troubles, he did not have time to pray properly. Nevertheless, hide not your face from me, even in the day of my distress, incline your ear to me, in the day when I call, answer me speedily. This is also a plea for the future, when the people of Israel languish in the afflictions of exile, may they merit to behold the light of your face. That is to say, they should know the secret of Israel's continued existence and the reason for their suffering. This will give them the strength to endure their afflictions. The singer also pleads for those who do not merit to behold the light of Hashem's presence. Answer them speedily, and so enable them to withstand the trial of their suffering. Pasuk 4. Ki cholu v'oshon yomoi v'asmosai kimokei nichoru. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. In the multitude of his troubles, the singer says, my days are consumed like smoke. From the heat of the fire of affliction, my days are consumed like some physical object being incinerated in fire that gives off rising smoke. My bones are burned, dried of a moisture, like a hearth. At this site, the fire always burns, as it says, upon the hearth of the altar. Pasuk that's found in Chumash Vayikra, even the tough bones have been incinerated. For my days are consumed like smoke. My days just seem to have gone up in smoke, like something that is consumed by a fire and disappears in smoke. Then again, the exiled Jewish people complain that the exile causes them to neglect Torah study. Their days are consumed without a Torah, without mitzvahs. Then truly, my bones are burned like a hearth. Pasuk 5. Huko ho'esev v'yivash libi ki shachachti me'achol lachmi. My heart is smitten like grass and withered, for I have forgotten to eat my bread. For lack of nourishment, I am so parched that my heart is smitten like grass and withered. All moisture in my body has dried up, even as grass is dried up by the sun's heat. For my troubles are so great that I have forgotten to eat my bread. Or else it means, for lack of bread, I have already forgotten how bread is eaten. Because of much affliction, I forget to eat, hence my heart will be smitten and die, for I have forgotten to eat my bread. It happens that a man will have nothing to eat one day, and then be compensated for it. But I have already forgotten how many days I have not eaten, and there is no way I can make up for that. Smitten like grass, although I have been smitten like grass, that is prompted by its supervising angel and told to grow. I have not bloomed. On the contrary, my heart is withered, for I have forgotten to eat my bread. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Nikol anchasi davka atzmi letzori. From the sound of my sighing, my bones cleave to my flesh. There is so much pain and groaning that my flesh has been consumed to the bone, and the bone sticks to the skin. Similarly, it says, their skin is shriveled upon their bones. It is withered, it has become like a stick. Pasuk that's found in Eicha. There it means that the flesh has withered. Some explain that leprosy is usually located between the skin and the bone. The Torah says here that so much has been eaten away by the leprosy that the bone sticks to the flesh. Similarly, it says, my bones cleaves to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped by the skin of my teeth, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Iyov. Pasuk Zion, pasuk 7. Gamisi lik as midbor ha'yisi kehos horomus. I am like a plishin of the wilderness. I have become as an owl of the wastelands. David compared himself to birds in the wilderness that keen and shriek. He says, I'm like a plishin in the wilderness whose voice is like a sign. I am become as an owl of the wastelands, and its voice too is like the sound of sighing. Some explain that this last bird is called Kipupa in the Talmud. A different interpretation says, I'm so alone and exiled, it is as if I were only in communication with the local birds. Alternatively, it says, his cries should be in the location where no one hears him. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Shakadati ve'eya katsipor bodeid al-gog. I persevered and so have remained like a bird alone upon the housetop. Out of deep fear, I've always deep in solitude. I persevered in this condition and so have remained today like a bird perched alone upon the housetop. This is a figuratively allusion to his exile. I persevered in exile, living as a wanderer from here to there. I was everywhere alone, like a bird alone upon the housetop. I have been like a bird that is fearful of coming inside the house. One reason is that it is afraid of being trapped, or else it is afraid of other members of its own species. I've been in exile, like a bird upon the housetop. I am not in my own country. I would go up on the housetop to pray so that people would not see me, but my enemies thought that I had lost my senses and they would vilify me all day. We're going to learn this pasuk in just a few minutes. The singer depicts the afflictions of Israel in exile, where they were denied the rights of residency. At first they were forbidden to dwell in cities, thus they resembled the plishin of the wilderness. The plishin must meander to the river where it feeds on the fish it catches. Later they were granted permission to earn their livelihood in the cities, but were required to make their homes in the wastelands outside the cities. Still later, when after much intercession and negotiation, they were permitted to dwell in the city, they lived in isolation from the rest of the peoples. Solitude is very bad for the sufferer. When there is someone to talk to about one's troubles, suffering is eased. It is otherwise when there is no one about. As our sages have taught, or companionship or death. Thus the singer complains here, I have remained like a bird alone upon the housetop. In a prophetic vision through the Holy Spirit, the singer depicts the troubles and afflictions of the Jewish people in their different exiles. The wailing and weeping differed at different times and in different places. In the very beginning, immediately following the destruction, I was like a plishin of the wilderness that wails day and night without pause. It does not cease its wailing, even in the wilderness where there are no people. Then my strength diminished, and I became like an owl of the wastelands. The owl lives among the ruins, and it does not wail day and night, but intermittently. Still later, I was like a bird alone upon the rooftop. Without comrades, the bird keeps silent and does not chirp. Rashi interprets, I persevered chakadati, I examined myself and saw that I was lonely like a bird alone upon the rooftop. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Kalayom herfuni oyvoy meholai bi nishpou. My enemies vilify me all day. Those who are in a frenzy against me swear curse by me. All day long my enemies would revile and taunt me until maddened to a frenzy against me. Then they would swear curses by me. When they wanted to curse themselves by uttering an oath, to be struck down by an evil fate, if they did such and such, they would curse by me. Throughout the long exile, my enemies would vilify me all day. Those who spoke in frenzied revulsion until they went insane with uncontrollable rage would swear curses by me. they would say, may I be like that Jew if I do such and such. Pasuk Yud. Ki efer kalecha mecholti v'shikuvai v'chi v'sochti. For I've eaten ashes like bread and mixed my drink with tears. In my excess of mourning, I have eaten ashes like bread. I ate bread dipped in ashes. Alternatively, my bread tasted like ashes. I mixed my drink with tears. Whatever beverages I drink blend with my tears. Some explain the bread I ate was black as ashes. The quantity of bread I ate dipped in ashes was the same as the quantity of ashes. I ate equal portions of both. Mixed my drink with tears. This alludes to the teaching of our sages that wine not blended with oil in the proportion of 1 to 3 is not wine. When I mixed my cup with weeping, one part was wine and 2 parts were tears. The Chachamim say that a cup of wine for Abdullah must hold a quarter of a quarter, a revius of live wine. When blended with 3 parts water, the cup will then hold exactly a revius. This pertained only to the land of Israel, however, where the wine was particularly strong. Accordingly, the singer says here, my drink, that is the wine of my country, which is so strong that it must be blended with 3 parts water, I mixed with tears. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Mivnei zamcho v'kitzbecho kinesa shosani v'tashlicheni. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have taken me up and cast me away. Here the singer tells the reason for his anguish. Why have I eaten ashes like bread and mixed my drink with weeping? Is because of your indignation and your wrath against me. For you have taken me up, and after having raised me, you cast me away. You cast me all the way down. Thus my rise was to me an evil thing. Because you raised me up before casting me down, my feeling of debasement was terrible in the extreme. Thus it says about the Jewish people following the destruction as found in Eicha. Hashem cast down from heaven to earth the beauty of Israel. My anguish was not over my own troubles, says King David, but because of your indignation and your wrath. For the indignation and wrath that I caused you, as it were, I sorrowed through my weeping and mourning. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Yomai Ketzel Notui Va'ani Ke'esev Ivash. My days are like a lengthening shadow, and I am withered like grass. The singer likens his life to a shadow. Brief is my life like a shadow lengthening towards evening. Similarly, it says, woe to us, for the day of declines, for the shadows of the evening are lengthened. A pasuk found in Yirmiyahu. There is hope in a lengthening shadow, for the shine of a new day will arise once more. But I am withered like grass, and there is no longer any way to revive me. Now that I have been cast away, my days are like a lengthening shadow. They are rapidly passing away like a shadow that lengthens and then immediately vanishes. Then again, the singer says, speaking for the Jewish people in exile, my days in exile are far too long, like a strengthening shadow greatly extended. But I do not take advantage of those long days to accumulate more observance of mitzvahs and good deeds. Instead, I am withered like grass. All the sap of my abilities is dried up. What good then is served by this lengthening of my exile? The shadow cast by a pillar standing on the ground is first lengthened at sunrise and then continually diminished and shortened until at noon no shadow remains. Such too is a man's life. In the beginning the days are long, but then they get shorter and shorter until they vanish. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Ki'ato Hashem le'olam teshev zichrucho v'dor v'dor. But you, O Hashem, sit enthroned forever, and your remembrance is to all generations. The Singh affirms his faith in the redemption, although not all exiles will merit to be redeemed. You, O Hashem, sit enthroned forever, and your remembrance is to all generations. So even if I do not behold the redemption, the generations following me will merit to see it. There is no doubt that your words will be fulfilled. You will deliver them. Having said about himself, my days are like a lengthening shadow. The singer says here, this is the previous pasuk, but you, O Hashem, sit enthroned forever, and your remembrance is to all generations. So grant me life, let me not die before my time. The singer begins his prayer for the redemption, declaring, but you, O Hashem, sit enthroned forever, and your remembrance is to all generations. Your remembrance is spoken by your servants who pray to you in every generation. Accept their prayer, arise and have compassion upon Zion. Show your compassion for Zion by having her rebuilt. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. You will arise and have compassion upon Zion, for it is time to favor her with grace, for the appointed time has come. Having prayed for himself, King David now prays for the Beis HaMikdash to be built. It was revealed to him at this time that the holy Beis HaMikdash, the holy temple, would be located on Mount Zion. Thus he says, you will arise have compassion upon Zion, there to build the holy Beis HaMikdash, for it is time to favor her with grace. Very many years have already gone by since the Israelites' entry into the Holy Land, and the appointed time has come. It is fitting for you to favor her with grace. The singer speaks for the exiled Jewish people in the future. Zion had stood in ruins for many years, and he expresses his faith in God that he will now be merciful and rebuild Zion, for the time has come to favor her with grace, despite your indignation and your wrath, for the appointed time has come for the redemption. As there are two times for the redemption, it's time, and I will hasten it, as the pasuk says in Yeshayahu. The singer says, let us become worthy through sufficient merit for the redemption to come quickly. It will be a gift of grace fully deserved. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15, Ki rotsu avadecho es avaneho vesaforo yechonenu, for your servants take delight in her stones and cherish her dust. Your servants so very much love her stones and cherish her dust, they will not permit the least bit of it to go to waste, even something as tiny as a mustard grain. The singer means to say, in addition to the first reason for the redemption, for it is time to favor her with grace, for the appointed time has come, there is also another reason to hasten the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Even if Israel is not worthy of the redemption on account of their deeds, they are worthy of it on account of their yearning for the land of Israel. So intense is their longing that even though there be nothing left intact but her stones, they want those stones. Even when in the course of time the stones crumble into dust, they will cherish her dust. Living in exile, they express their longing to kiss her stones, and they cherish her dust. Compare it to a man cherishing a beloved object. The sage in Kuzari explained, you will rise. When will this be? When your servants desire it. That is to say, Yerushalayim will be rebuilt when Israel's yearning for Hashem will reach the height of yearning. They will cherish her stones and her dust. Contrast this with what the Torah says about the desert generation. But your little ones will know the land which you have despised. The pasuk that's found in the Chumash by Midbar. The singer declares, if today, too, the land of Israel were flowing with milk and honey, Satan might find cause to contend that we long for the land because of its excellence. The fact is, however, that at the present time the land is desolate, dust and rocks, yet the Jewish people long to be there. It means they long for the well-being of their souls, and this makes them worthy of being redeemed. Even when the Jewish people live well in exile, they are prepared to give up the good things of other lands and come to the land of Israel, despite its destruction and desolation. So just as they delight in the stones of Zion and cherish her dust, do you also have mercy on Zion. Revive her stones from the heaps of dust. Please turn tape over to...